Before I start with the passage, I was thinking this week about how God speaks to us all the time, if we're open to listen, through different things that happen in our lives. There are messages available to us regularly. And the other morning, we've got a little baby, 1.5 years old, and she usually when she wakes up, she wants a bottle straight away. But this particular morning, she didn't. All she wanted to do was be held. And so I lay there in bed with her in my arms for about 20 minutes or so. And it got me thinking about our relationship with God. I mean, do we come into the service and then rush out again ready for the day and for everything else? Or are we keen to spend more time resting in God's presence? Are we eager to spend time with God? That's just as an aside as we begin. I encourage you to look out for things like that in your week, in your life, where God is saying something to you. But this week, we're continuing in the run-up to Pentecost with the Holy Spirit. And Brian has been sharing with us how the Holy Spirit was part of the Jewish experience throughout the Old Testament. And God promised them that something more was going to come, that there was more to be experienced. And then last week, we actually looked at Pentecost. We looked at what happened, and we looked at the wind and the flames, and how there was this amazing experience of God's presence coming down on the people. And how Peter and the other followers were all changed, how their lives were changed through that experience. And I found much of last week's sermon very exciting. Now, like many of you, I've heard lots of talks about the Holy Spirit, but it always excites me when I'm reminded that God's Spirit is within all of us already. Genesis tells us that God breathes in us. God has breathed His Spirit into His creation. The Spirit is within us already. And then as we decide to follow Jesus, as we invite Him into our hearts, however that happens, the Holy Spirit becomes alive even more within us. He's released to further His work. And as we've just sung, there is more to it than even that. It's so exciting that there's far more that the Holy Spirit can do. There's more that we can experience. During the week, part of my job is to sell cameras to people. And people come to me often and they say, I know that little green square, which is the automatic mode, and that's as far as I can go. And people talk to me about my cell phone. My son keeps telling me it's time to upgrade. And I know how to make a phone call and perhaps SMS, and that's as far as it goes for me. Unfortunately, part of our Christian life is like that as well. There is so much more that we can experience and grow and understand and learn about our faith and about the Holy Spirit, and we only get so far. And so I was looking at the gifts of the Spirit. I was looking at how the Spirit works through the fruit. And then I came back to this passage that we had a look at last week. The passage from Acts where the Holy Spirit comes and there's this Pentecost event and it's amazing and they all speak in different languages and there's that great list of names that we can't pronounce of all the different people and they all heard God speaking to them. And I thought, what happens after that? They've had this wonderful experience, and what happens next? And so we have this particular passage from Acts chapter 2, and it begins, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So that's what happened. And as we read the passage, I'm sure that most of you immediately focused on that second line about awe and wonder and signs and miraculous things. But if we do that, we miss out on other aspects of their new life together. The Holy Spirit is available to us for far more than that. He came for far more than just signs and wonders. In fact, Luke begins and says, they devoted themselves to teaching. John Stott says that this is the first sign of a living church. It's a church where people are keen to understand more, where people are dedicated to growing in their experience and understanding and knowledge of their faith. Teaching is a big part of the work of the Spirit within us. Now, Brian and I have this amazing privilege. We get to spend a lot of time researching and preparing and learning and listening to God and then teaching. But I know that there are far more teachers than just he and I in this church. As I listen to people lead worship or to lead the prayers, people who share with one another over tea, people who share in the groups, I can hear God teaching us all if we're open to listen to one another. In John 16, the gospel set for today, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit has been sent to lead us and teach us. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will share what I give him. The Holy Spirit is there to help us, to teach us. And as we open ourselves to God's Spirit, we may find God has something to share through us. It's not just people speaking to us, but we can share what God has to offer as well. And I can think back over my own life as a Christian, sitting in a congregation. There's a word from our little baby at the back. I can remember sitting in a congregation and having something that I feel God wants to share with the congregation, but I was too nervous to speak out. I was too nervous to share with anybody else, and that moment got lost. And perhaps it was a very important something for somebody within that congregation. As we allow God and His Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to be fully released in our services, in our meetings, we'll be amazed and blessed by the teaching that God has to share with us. In 1994, I came back to South Africa. I'd been in England for a year, and I came back to South Africa to be part of the whole process of the election. And at the end of the year, everything had happened, and I felt at a bit of a loss. And I thought, well, let me go back to England, go back to the job I had there. So I bought a ticket, I had everything lined up, and about 6 weeks before I was due to go back, two people in my fellowship group came to me independently and said, we don't believe God wants you to go. We believe that God has something different for you. I had everything planned. It was all ready. But I chose to listen. I chose to believe that they were listening to God. So I canceled the ticket, I canceled the job, and I sat and waited. Within 6 months, I was engaged. Things happen. God works if we allow God to work, if we allow God to speak to us and through us. Secondly, after the flames, after the wind, after this amazing experience, they devoted themselves to fellowship. This whole big experience, and then they devoted themselves to fellowship, to love for one another. And it may not seem like a gift of the Spirit. It may seem like something that we just do naturally. But I can assure you, when the Holy Spirit is not active in a congregation, is not active within a church, there is very little true fellowship. An outsider, when looking at the early church, said, see how these Christians love one another. And we have Paul's letter in Corinthians with that amazing passage in chapter 13 where he talks about love. And it's not just there for weddings. In fact, what he's talking about is the gift of the Spirit. Yes, love is in a list. It's a list. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. But it's not only a byproduct of God's transforming work in our lives. The ability to love, the ability to live in fellowship with one another is a true gift from God. And sadly, churches are not often known for that. Because we're a group of quite different people, we gather together because we want to worship God, and normally perhaps we wouldn't meet with one another during the week. And it can sometimes be a problem. But the gift of fellowship is a sign that the Holy Spirit is working, not only in the lives of individuals, but in the life of the community. Jesus prayed for his disciples. He said, I pray that they will be one as the Father and I are one. He prayed for unity, that they would love one another so that the world could see that they were his disciples. I'm sure as you look around and think of the people in your congregation, you can recognize God's love working through some people. Perhaps, hopefully, through all. The passage goes on and says, all the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold their property. They sold some of their possessions. They gave to everyone in need. The next sign of the Holy Spirit working in a church is a compassionate heart for those in need. As we go through Luke and Acts, we recognize how the writer saw in Jesus' message, in Jesus' life, a compassionate heart for the needy, for the poor. When Jesus begins his ministry, he starts by speaking from Isaiah 61, which says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness the prisoner. It's this amazing passage that Jesus stands up and says, this is my ministry. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Jesus, is interested in good news for the poor. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to be released into our lives, into our hearts, we'll find that we long to make a difference among the needy in the world. We will begin to weep alongside those who have nothing. We will weep with our Father at the pain and the damage of our world. Perhaps we'll be given the heart and the opportunity to reach out and make a difference. We certainly pray for that at St. Barnabas, that we can find ways to make a difference. Perhaps we'll be given the platform in our lives to speak passionately, to bring others to a time of transformation, that they can change their hearts and reach out as well. That's another symbol, a sign of the Holy Spirit at work within a congregation, in a community. And the next gift of the presence of God in a worshiping community is increased joy in their worship. Luke writes and says, they broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Now, the early church would have gone to the temple. They were a Jewish community. They would have gone to the temple to worship God. But then they also came together as a family, as a community, to spend time together. They would have they had meals together. They were sharing the experiences of Jesus, talking about what he had said, sharing his teaching with one another. They would have had a simple Eucharistic service, a breaking of bread and drinking wine together, remembering that Last Supper experience. And as the presence of the Holy Spirit fills us, as we allow God into more parts of our life, we'll find that our worship is released from its inhibitions. We'll find that we no longer care what other people think about what we're doing as we sing. Perhaps you'll be free to raise your arms or to dance, to wave flags. Perhaps you'll be free to speak in different languages, to interpret. It may include words of knowledge as we have an open time of prayer where you can speak out into somebody's need. Perhaps you'll feel as you get prayed for just the freedom to fall asleep in the Lord, to fall on the floor, or to shake, or to enjoy laughing out loud. These are all signs that have happened in the past of God's presence and Spirit, signs of awe and wonder. Perhaps there'll be healings. But these are not critical signs. Paul reminds us that above all, there will be love. There will be love in our worship, joy at God's presence. That is a true sign that the Holy Spirit is at work in our worship. The gifts of the Spirit, though, are not only for the growth and the upliftment of the people within the church. God's presence within our lives has another function. The passage ends by saying, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Holy Spirit worked in the lives of the early disciples to enable them to share with others their faith. They were able to share with enthusiasm, with confidence. Mostly they were not very well educated, but with the Holy Spirit in their lives, they were able to share with others what they believed, what they understood about Jesus and his mission in their lives. And as they were able to share God's good news, they were able to draw people into a closer walk with God. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to be released more fully into our lives, we'll find that it's not that difficult. Perhaps it's easier, perhaps it's less daunting to share our faith with other people. We're not all called to be televangelists or tent evangelists or something like that. But we're all equipped, we're all enabled to share what we believe. People talk about being a witness for Jesus. Well, a witness is somebody who saw something and then told somebody else about it. That's all you have to do. Say, this is my story. This is who I am. Words of knowledge and wisdom, tongues, interpretation, faith, miracles, acts of healing, whether physical or emotional, all of these are possible. They can be part of our experience here at St. Barnabas. a preacher from the turn of the century, in the beginning of the 20th century, tells a story of a day that he made a long journey from the countryside into London. It wasn't quite as easy then as it is now. It was a long journey. And when he got to London, he had to do quite a bit of business. And he went to the first shop, and he was there busy making his collection. And he realized he had left his wallet behind. He'd come all the way, spent all that time getting into London, and he could do nothing. So he pretty much turned around and went back home. And as he got home and he took off his coat, he discovered the wallet was inside his jacket the whole time. He had had the potential to do all the things he needed to do, all the things he wanted to do and had planned to do the whole time. He just hadn't found the wallet. I began by saying that it's really exciting that the Holy Spirit is within each of us. We are made in the image of God. We are filled with the presence of God, the Spirit of God. All we need to do is to allow God to release that power into our lives. I'm sure that growing up, Mother Teresa didn't have any idea that one day she would be regarded as a modern-day saint, revered for her compassionate love for those in need. Growing up, Archbishop Tutu didn't foresee that he would one day be a moral voice for the entire world, that he would be a champion for justice and peace. William Wilberforce, as he began his Christian walk, wasn't the voice of the anti-slavery movement. These people didn't start off as heroes of the faith. They allowed God to release his Spirit within them. They followed where God led them. My family, my parents, over about 25 years, have allowed over 50 different people to spend a day, a week, a month, up to 2 years living with us. I can tell you it was quite stressful at times as growing up as children. But they're an amazing example of hospitality, the gift of hospitality, as they opened their homes to so many different people. My next-door neighbor is an 80-something-year-old woman who is a beautiful example of the compassion of God, of the presence of the Holy Spirit within her. When you share your fears and your pain with her, you know that God is listening too. As she prays for you, you realize that you are within God's space because of her compassion and her love. The Holy Spirit is waiting to transform your life, to release you from your inhibitions, to fill you with power, to guide and to direct your energy, to enable you to speak, to enable you to lead, to break down walls in your life and to build up, and to build you up. I want to end slightly differently today. In a moment we'll be led in some prayer, intercessionary prayer, as we remember the people of the world. But first I want to lead us in a time of prayer for blessing. There's always an opportunity after services to come to the front, to be prayed for, to have somebody come and pray for you for the blessing of God's Spirit in your lives. But I want to make this available to everybody now. So as we sit, let's just pray. Loving Father, Lord Jesus, holy and life-giving Spirit, all-powerful God, we come before you now as the people of St. Barnabas. We come as individuals on our own spiritual journey. We come longing to receive more power. We come longing to receive more love, more compassion, more courage, more of your presence in our lives. We are a dry and thirsty people, Lord. We ask for your river of life to flow afresh in our lives. And Lord, perhaps within us we are comfortable in our inactivity. And we ask that you make us restless again so that we can grow more and more into your likeness. Father, we ask that you release within each of us a full measure of your love and your presence, that we might share that love, that we might share your joy and your peace with all we meet. And may we allow your power to move more freely within this place and within our lives each day. Amen.